This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zenta A. Stars. Michigan residents are invited to join in reading and discussing the women of the Copper Country. Mary Doria Russell's riveting account of 25-year-old Annie Clements as she stood up for the miners and their families during the 1913 copper strikes in Calumet, Michigan. The historical novel is Michigan Humanities' choice for the 2021 Great Michigan Read.
It's a time when the Calumet and Hecla Mining Corporation owned the city of Calumet and all of the land. It leased the land to all of the commercial, the businesses and the churches and everything else.
Right.
But it was wholly owned. It was a company town. And it was the most prosperous and most consistently profitable of many mining corporations that opened up in the Keweenaw Peninsula. The peninsula is just littered with rusting mining equipment because it's a capital-intensive and really risky business to go into. Calumet and Hecla sat on the richest copper vein in the world at the time. The workers were primarily... They had originally come from places like Cornwall and the places where there was a mining history. But after the 1880s, they were increasingly immigrants from Finland, from Eastern Europe, and some from Italy as well. That was, at the time, considered a dilution of the quality of the workforce. Very anti-immigrant feelings, much like what we've just gone through in the last 4 years.
You know, I had that thought while reading it. I thought, the history, but the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, exactly. And Naughton, the CEO of Calumet and Hecla, really did, he was very concerned about runaway immigration undermining white Anglo-Saxon Protestant dominion. And it was his stated goal that he would kill the union. He would do whatever was necessary to kill the union. And that's what the strike was about, his decision to bring in a one-man drill. Now, previously, they had used a two-man drill, so you always had a partner with you underground. If anything went wrong, there would be somebody who could either run for help or who could pull you out of the out from under the rockfall, or otherwise be there with you if something bad happened. A one-man drill cuts your workforce in half. It reduces your labor costs, which is what McNaughton was concerned about, but it is much, much more dangerous for the remaining miners who were supposed to use it. And that was the kickoff for a strike that was led by a 25-year-old woman named Annie Clements. She was my entry into the story. I was like, how does a woman like that happen? She's 25. She's 6'3" in a time when ladies were supposed to be dainty. She's out in front of these daily parades, they call them, not marches, but parades, with this gigantic flag. She's keeping everybody's spirits up. Wow, how does she happen? That was my initial question. How do you get a woman like Annie Clements? So that's part of what I tried to explain in the book.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zenta A. Stars. Russell tells what sparked her imagination.
Yeah, I get interested in something often. It's just something I see on television. I think, how did that work? With this book, it was the PBS documentary Red Metal. Was on, and that is a 1-hour documentary about the Calumet strike, and that was when I saw Annie Clements head and shoulders above the crowd, mm-hmm. and James McNaughton. I'm thinking, ooh, I got a heroine, I got a nemesis. This is really interesting. So I put that out on Facebook, and about 15 minutes later, I got email from a friend of mine, Rivka Tovin, who said my great grandfather was Solomon Christo. He was the last man to die in the mines before the strike began. And I went, whoa, I really need to take you out to breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she brought all kinds of family history with her. And the thing that really hooked me was that I told her, I think this is, you know, I got this classic good girl, bad guy scenario going on here. And she says, well, I'll just tell you this. In my family, the names of both Annie Clements and James McNaughton were spoken with reverence.
Both.
And that just rocked me back on my heels. And I had to rethink everything early on about how to approach this. And when I heard her family's story about what happened after Solomon died, and I just thought, somebody needs to tell this story in a way that engages the emotions. And I set myself that task.
For those who don't know, tell us a little bit about what happened December 24, 1913.
Yeah. There was a party that was given for the Union children. And it was in Italian Hall, which was the second floor, a great big open sort of a banquet hall. Above, there was a tavern and a grocery store, and there were 24 steps up to the second floor. And it was a very steep stairway. There were approximately 800 people in the hall. Women's Auxiliary had put together $63.54 to buy little toys and candies and stuff for each one of the kids. And at some point in the afternoon, someone came to the top of that stairway and yelled, fire. That much everybody agrees on. There were people who testified at the hearing afterwards that they saw a Citizens Alliance button on the man who came to the top of the stairs to yell fire. Then, during the hearing, of course, only the people who were at the front of that group of 800, would have been able to see that. Basically, the people who were the defense for the Citizens Action Committee got a number of people to testify, no, I couldn't see anything. Well, yeah, those who could saw the button, but we know who was running the hearing. So my solution to that was to come up with a person who did that, but in a way that accounts for all of the ambiguities about who actually was responsible for that. What I wanted to do was to take into account the things that we pretty much knew and then give a plausible solution to how it might have happened. But getting back to the disaster itself, he yelled fire, that much we know. And this is only just a year after the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire disaster. And everybody had seen photographs of the girls jumping out of the factory rather than burn to death inside the factory. So the fear of fire was just alive in that group. And people ran for the exit. And that steep stairway, one kid trips on the way. These are children. These are little kids. One kid trips. The next kid trips over him and another and another and another and another until the entire stairway, the stairwell was completely packed with bodies. And 73 people were dead, most of them children, 13 adults. The coroner had to decide whether or not it was 74 because one of the women was pregnant.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Mary Doria Russell, the author of The Women of Copper Country. The Great Michigan Read kicks off in September 2021 and runs through fall 2022. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation and learn about The Great Michigan Read. And join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.